Welcome back to a draft week edition of Believe in 49ers presented by the Believe Podcast Network and Bet Online. I am your host, Tommy Call III. You can follow me on Twitter at Tommy_III. That is triple I for the third. And you can also catch all of my written work about the 49ers via USA Today's Niners Wire. And if you're interested in that, now you know where to go. All right, let's start this podcast off. I personally just ran a 10K, and so today on the podcast, I'm going to just brag about running a 10K, because that's what you're supposed to do after you run, right? Well, hold up. I wouldn't do you guys like that. Don't get too excited. But that does sound like a little bit of a brag, though. Let's get serious here. It is time, folks. We're here. It is NFL Draft Week here on the Believe Network and, well, everywhere. And hopefully, to no surprise, today we are going to talk about the NFL Draft, the 2024 NFL Draft. And at this point, we probably all have some players we like, some players that stand out, some players you want the 49ers to draft, draft crushes, right? I think that's, at this point in like draft season, I think that is one of the more interesting things, fun things to talk about, because some players that you like, I might not like, and vice versa. We know who the top end players are at this point, right? We know who those guys, almost everybody in the first round is to an extent. Who are your guys? Who are the guys you want on the 49ers or your team or whatever it is? I think that is more interesting at this point. But you've probably already read an unhealthy amount of mock drafts, but hopefully there is room for one more bite, because today on the podcast, we will be doing a Believe in 49ers mock draft. I will go over how we will run the mock draft here in a second, but before we get there, a quick message from our friends over at Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, scores are available to follow for your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today and use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts. All right, let's get down to business. Before we get into the mock draft, there has been some small news and notes buzzing around the NFL, especially around the 49ers, with Brandon Ayuk. And at this point, he's kind of headlined the 49ers offseason. Before we likely get some clarity on draft day with Ayuk's situation, his name has been in the news again and again and again, it feels like, over this past week. And we talked about him a lot on the last podcast, so if you're interested in my entire opinion on the Ayuk saga, you can listen to that. But this week specifically, there's been some different outlets saying he's demanded a trade from the San Francisco 49ers. Then his agent has quickly refuted those reports, I think twice now. A lot of these loose reports have linked him to the Steelers. And like I've said in the past, Ayuk is playing the game he has to right now to get the contract that he deserves. Debo Samuel did the same thing. It gets ugly at times. It happens, but it's part of the business. I do say it's a sign of good faith that his agent came out against reports of a trade request. But again, that could be, you know, one way of how just this draft goes. That's why it's so important, I think, for the 49ers. And not only do they have a lot of picks, they have players like Brandon Ayuk, where I think they could be a kind of a serious player in the 2024 edition of the draft. But, you know, while we're on it, let's play pretend here for a second. And if these reports and different trade offers happened, or if they have any validity, especially with the link to the Steelers, let's say, would the number 20 overall pick from Pittsburgh be enough to land Ayuk? I think so. With the money issues looming around the 49ers, contracts coming up for players like Brock Purdy, I think it's a deal you probably jump on. And if it's a wide receiver you want, you can probably get an impact player in the first round pretty easily, whether that be a Ladd McConkey, A.D. Mitchell, Xavier Worthy, a guy that is available with the pick 20 or pick 30 later in the draft. There's no doubt the 49ers are doing their homework on wide receivers in this draft class heavily, just in case the right call comes in for Brandon Ayuk. Let's move on. Before we get to the mock draft, and I keep teasing it here, coming soon, let's move on to some free agency news. Because again, the 49ers made some free agency news with this latest wave of free agency, and another addition specifically in the secondary with the signing of Rock Ya-Sin. I like the move. I think it's another nice, addition to the depth in the secondary. He has experience. He's physical. I like it, and I think it's more than a depth signing. Ya-Sin has played a lot in his career, and he started at times at different spots, including with the Raiders. Last year with the Ravens, he earned some starts. I like the additions of Ya-Sin and Yadam from the Saints. I think it gives this team a lot of flexibility, and I think it takes a lot of pressure off this draft, takes pressure off the shoulders of John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan, to nab a corner in the latter half of that first round, because we've seen positions of need, like whether they go the route of wide receiver, whether they go the route of offensive line. Those are jam-packed full of talent. Those two positions have so much talent when it comes to this draft. Where corner and safety or defensive tackle specifically, kind of other positions of need that the 49ers have addressed in free agency, aren't necessarily stocked full with talent like wide receiver and offensive line is. So that's why these signings, although they're not the superstar big-time name, they're not the Xavien Howard or a guy that you might be super familiar with, these additions matter, because you got to essentially hope that those are freeing up draft picks for other positions of need that have better talent in the draft. 49ers also brought in old friend Trent Taylor. Looks like he's going to be the punt returner, kick returner to start the season, which we're obviously have some new kick return rules coming to the NFL this next year, so that position might be a position of impact. Let's see if he brings in some competition for him in the draft. The 49ers have also been bringing in kind of waves of prospects on top 30 visits. There's been virtual meetings, all types of things. Every day you pop open Twitter, the 49ers are meeting with a new player. Recently, they've had talks with players like Oregon defensive back Evan Williams, Western Kentucky wide receiver Malachi Coley, Memphis's running back Blake Watson, UCLA running back Carson Steele, and Arizona wide receiver Jacob Cowing. We at Niners Wire have written about all these players. Yes, likely a lot of later round picks. That's what these kind of visits are tailored to. If you're interested in learning about them, hit up Niners Wire. I really like Cowing specifically out of that group. He is small, but I think he is good enough to sneak up on people at the next level. And he has a nose for the end zone. I think he was like top 10 in touchdown receptions last year in all of college football. Like 13 or 14 touchdown catches. Just a good all-around football player. And I like him enough to fire a pickoff in the later rounds to get Cowing to Santa Clara. But that is going to do it. Enough anticipation. Let's get to the mock draft. So before we get there, let's talk a little bit about some rules here. So there's different ways to do mock drafts. Like, do you think a GM should, what you think a GM should do, what I would do, best player available. How do you want to do this mock, guys? What do you want to do? I heard one of you say to mock how I would do it. Ugh, yikes. That was corny. My bad. Long story short, I'm just going to make the picks of what I would do, what I would want if I was on the clock, if I was in John Lynch's shoes on Thursday and Friday, because we're going to do two rounds of the mock draft here. I'll also give you guys some honorable mentions and what I was thinking when we were on the clock. Let's go. Can somebody play the draft jingle for me really quick with the number 31 pick in the first round of the 2024 NFL draft? The 49ers select Washington offensive tackle Troy Fatanu. Okay, let's start with availability, because I think some of the people, when they first hear that pick, might go, is he still going to be on the board? It might be a reach here. And if he's still on the board, I think you absolutely have to grab him. But he is that good that he could, force his name up the draft board. But with all the rumors and everything you think, I think quarterbacks are going to take over the first half of this round. A lot of guys are going to go, it sounds like. On top of that, wide receivers. I think there's going to be a flux of wide receivers. I think after those first couple wide receivers come off the board, teams might get a little bit desperate. So it could push some of these offensive linemen down the board, even guys from the very tippy top. So it could make a guy like Troy Fontanu fall. And if he does, big winner for the 49ers. I mean, and so if you want to make the argument that, oh, Tommy, he's not going to be on the board, I like Duke's Graham Barton at this spot. Center guard, played offensive tackle this past year at Duke, really smart player. I obviously think Arizona's Jordan Morgan is a great fit. Those are both kind of good options, 1B. What I'm saying is offensive line is the move in the first round for me. But let's talk a little bit about Fontanu. 6'4", 315 pounds. Not huge, but makes up for it with athleticism. He moves like an absolute freight train. I think 5.0, 140, 91st percentile for offensive linemen. He's basically in the 90s in every athletic percentile. He is your modern offensive lineman, not your fat, strong guy. A true athlete, a big athlete, not a fat guy that can run. Your new age offensive lineman can play nearly every position on the offensive line, can compete at right tackle, I think, right away, but can also shift inside if the 49ers are more comfortable with Colton McKivitz at right tackle again this next season. While he moves really well in space, let's not get it twisted that he's some finesse offensive lineman. Fontanu is a dog. I saw another analyst call him a brawler, and I think that is great. I mean, he is nasty, he is physical. I think the duo of him and Trent Williams would be absolutely bully ball if you put Fontanu at left guard. The swag, the toughness between those two, you add Deebo Samuel to the mix, the 49ers arguably have one of the toughest groups on offenses on paper in the NFL. One thing I love about Fontanu's game is his vision and feel as a pass protector. Let's remember, he played for the Washington Huskies, one of the most prolific passing offenses in football. Where Fontanu is going to make his money is in as a pass blocker for a guy that athletic. I think that's a place where he really thrives. He knows when to pick guys up, come off blocks, get twists, get traps. I think he has a great feel for the position, which, think about in the Super Bowl, guys miss blocks, guys miss blitzers. That was an issue. Fontanu is kind of the opposite of that. I like his eyes and vision as an offensive lineman. I mean, Michael Penix Jr. barely got touched in 2 years at Washington. And I think a lot of that was to do with the protection of Fontanu. Now that we have kind of an idea of who he is, let's talk about the philosophy behind the pick. And I hope that means what I think it means. And remember, not a big math guy. So while a side of me wants to go wide receiver here just to kind of make that splash and push the chips all out there that the 49ers are going to just build this wagon of a dynamic offense and have this, this luxury pick at 31 here. But let's be real. Next year is Super Bowl or bust. And one thing I think can quickly derail those hopes and dreams is, you know, pass rushers getting to Brock Purdy. Taking an offensive lineman here, kind of helps alleviate that stress a bit. I think the offensive line class is so nice in this draft. And later in the first round, I like offensive linemen, the offensive linemen available at the end of the first round versus the wide receivers available at the end of the first round. I think the wide receivers are just absolutely studs at the top. I mean, you'd kill for a Marvin Harrison. You'd kill for a Malik Nables. You'd kill for a Rome Odunze. My favorite player in the draft. Going to be one of my favorite players to watch next year. Obviously, those guys are studs, but those are your elite prospects. But there's still some really, really good guys that are going to be available from, I feel like, the first round stretching late into the second round, into the third round at wide receiver, where at offensive line, I think, as good as the class is, not that it thins out, I just like the wide receivers available more in the second round versus later in the first round, if that makes sense. I think the difference between like an A.D. Mitchell, Xavier Worthy, or guys that kind of are mocked later in this first round, I don't think there's a massive talent gap between some of these guys that are mocked in like rounds 2 and 3. So that's why I went with the offensive line here. And for those of you who are kind of screaming right now saying, we need a defensive back, we need a defensive tackle, I personally don't love the defensive tackles in just the first round in general. And I spoke about defensive back early, but the 49ers handled free agency in a way where they made so many defensive additions, where you're kind of looking at the offense now that, okay, they might need to clean some things up offensively in the draft. So, and I think it starts with offensive line. And I don't think it stops in the first round, because moving on to round two, with the number 63 overall pick, the 49ers select Florida wide receiver Ricky Pearsall. Absolute stud. Let's just get into it. One of my favorite players probably available in the draft. Talk about my guys that I really like. Pearsall's near the top. I think he's probably, you know, a top 40 talent, maybe even better, but teams that went crazy on wide receiver in the first round might not do that in the second. So hopefully some of these guys kind of slip to that pick 63. I think he's a stud. I think he does it all while being a solid athlete. I know there's some questions about his athleticism, but if you watch him, if you watch the film, I think he plays a lot faster. He ran a 4.41. He's probably one of the more polished route runners in the draft class. Something we know Kyle Shanahan values incredibly. He's shifty. He kind of jumps and jabs. He's really creative to create that space, and with the ball in his hands. He has great hands. Speaking of that, he has arguably one of the best highlight catches available. You're probably going to see it 100 times when his name is called later on in the week. He probably works best as a slot wide receiver right away, but let's remember he is 6'1", and I think he's a real threat in an offense like Kyle Shanahan's, knowing how to sit in coverage and kind of test those windows that Brock Purdy loves throwing into with timing. I think he'd be a seamless fit, and he could help right away. There's no real philosophy here. The 49ers need a wide receiver behind Debo and even Brandon Ayuk if he's still in town. I think Pearsall is the best of the bunch. Some other names I considered is Jalen Polk, another one of my draft crushes. I would say between Polk and Pearsall are two of my favorite players in the draft. I think these guys are kind of starters day one and going to help a team out. It reminds me of Justin Jefferson when he was coming out of LSU, and I'm not saying these guys are going to be the talent of Justin Jefferson, but that draft class had so many stud wide receivers like CeeDee Lamb, like just stud after stud after stud, and it reminds me of how top-heavy the talent is with wide receivers in this upcoming draft, where you have your Marvin Harrisons, your Rome Odunze's, Malik Nabers. Like, those guys are bona fide top 10, top 15 talent at the absolute least. But there's still going to be some guys that are going to be really impactful later in the draft, and it reminds me of guys like potentially Pearsall, like a Jalen Polk. If you want to talk about defensive back, I like Cam Hart from Notre Dame here. Offensive line, offensive guard, Cooper Beebe from Kansas State. Those guys would all be on the table for me, depending on how we attack this draft. I just think offensive line and wide receiver are the most valuable at this point. The other guy that I wrote down and I typed up here to kind of pitch him to you guys as, you know, this number 63 available pick until I landed on Pearsall, who I just really like and I think would be amazing in Kyle Shanahan's offense, is Texas tight end Jatavion Sanders. I think he's really talented, and he can add nice kind of like this duo threat alongside George Kittle, and just brings a new element to the 49ers offense. I don't love what the 49ers have currently behind George Kittle, and we've seen in the past some injury concerns. He's obviously another year older. I don't think he's, you know, a step towards being washed or anything like that, but I think having a safety net, it was one of the positions that I was looking at in free agency for the 49ers, and now as we sit here in the draft, I think round three tight end is a option that I would probably go with if we were doing a third round to our mock here, but we're not today. But that's a position that I would definitely kind of go for. I don't think Sanders falls to the third round. I think even if he was available later in the second, it would be a bit of a surprise, but I like him there. If he is available, I would be kind of happy with that pick. I'd be happy with any of these guys, but Pearsall is the guy for today. And that is going to do it for our mock draft, 2 rounds. I think I'm going to get a guest for another draft preview later this week, and then we'll be back here on Believe in 49ers with reactions to each of the picks. It's been a fun draft season, and it's been great to obviously talk to you guys. We won't be done yet, because hopefully we'll have a little bit more to talk about as the week rolls on. Potentially news of a trade. Who knows what is to come? That's what makes draft day so fun. You can always hit me on Twitter if you want to talk some ball. If you have a draft prospect, who are your guys? Who are the guys on your team that you're filling out the card for? That if you're in a war room and you're a scout, who are the guys that you are making the argument with? I'm the GM right now. I want you to pitch me a guy and sell me on him so I can fill out that draft card and be confident about it. Or we got to touch on it, folks. We got to talk about it. If you want to talk about hoops, you know I'm the Golden State Warriors managing editor for USA Today's Warriors Wire. What happened? We are a few days removed from the play-in tournament, almost a week removed from the play-in tournament, where the 49ers got laughed out of Golden 1 Center, had the beam hit to end their season. You've had a couple days to think about it. What's going to happen? Is the outlook, what does it look like? Do the 49ers need to go big game hunting for a free agent? Excuse me, for the Warriors. I always say that. Do the Warriors need to go kind of big game hunting for a free agent this summer to kind of make this change to preserve Steph Curry's, you know, prime, peak, whatever you, twilight, whatever you want to call this level of his career? Are they going to try and squeeze whatever they can for the championship run, or is it done? Do you want to pay Klay Thompson? Those are all big questions. Let's say this. I kind of just going to spin it positively here. I think they're in a bit of a better position they were in than last year, if that makes any sense. Obviously, they have the decision with Klay Thompson. That's going to be a big one. And then you have some more flexibility when it comes to Chris Paul, because there's a non-guaranteed deal, whether you can trade that, whether you could just kind of move on past that. Also, you're another year into the Andrew Wiggins contract, which I guess is a bit helpful. But more so, I thought one of the big issues last year was with the Warriors, is if they were trying to trade for a star, right? Think about where Jonathan Kuminga was at this time last year. He wasn't necessarily an asset. Neither was Moses Moody. And obviously you didn't have Brandon Podziemski and Trayce Jackson-Davis. While I don't want to trade any of those guys were all big question marks last time this, you know, at this point last year. Specifically Jonathan Kuminga, big question mark. Didn't know if this guy was a bust, didn't know what his deal was. Well, now he looks like a legitimate player that could be a budding star, really good contributor. I mean, who knows what the sky is for him? He is 21 years old still. But I think they're in a better spot in terms of just if they do try and go nab a big time guy that wants out of whatever team, we might not know. The NBA loves player movement unlike anything else. I think that gives me a little bit of positivity going into this offseason. I think they have a little bit more flexibility than they had last year. Which is a good thing when you're trying to kind of extend this run. I don't think the eulogy needs to be said about the run between Klay, Steph, and Draymond. I think this next year is kind of going to prove a lot, because I think a guy like Joe Lacob's going to really want to go for it at least one last time before, you know, things start getting really tight. I think they'll be able to kind of create a mid-level exception. I think they'll be able to get a little bit under the luxury if they get creative with Andrew Wiggins, Kevon Looney, things like that. So I like the flexibility of what this offseason brings. And also, you know, the last time they got eliminated from the play-in tournament, they won the title the very next year. So who knows? Obviously that is very, very positive, but that's how I feel. That's how I feel right now. And, I guess I'll just pay it off here, because I did actually do the IPA 10K in Sebastopol, California, West County, the Barlow, just yesterday while I'm recording this. Was a great time, absolutely great time. My second time running a 10K. Never been a runner before, trained for a 10K. Almost a little bit, like 9 months ago was the first time I ran one. And I ran it in an hour and 13 minutes and 54 seconds, so like an hour and 14. I think that's like an 11:40 time. I finished out like an hour, hour 5 minutes and 32 seconds. I think it was 10:32 was my pace, so obviously a lot quicker. Kind of had something to build off of this past time. The course that I ran, though, it had some uphill. Brutal. Absolutely brutal. So yeah, I don't know if any of that's good. Like I said, I'm a super basic non-Vince runner. We got a Peloton treadmill. Just did it for something to do. So I have no clue. I never did any type of track or anything, trail, cross country, growing up. So I have no clue. If that's good, please let me know. Hit me on Twitter. And to all of you who have stuck around for just this endless banter to end the podcast here, as I just kind of spill some thoughts to you about the Warriors and my running skills, thank you. And as always, thank you to everybody for listening here to Believe in 49ers. Love talking to you guys here. Super excited for the draft. Thank you again. Thank you to our sponsor, Bet Online. And most importantly, again, thank you for listening to Believe in 49ers, presented by Bet Online.